Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you wanna be my friend, you had better go and get up, man. And maybe we could keep in touch, like we did in the old days. It wasn't so long ago.
Roar. It's not picking it up. Now it is. What is that?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know. Tool? I don't think it's Tool anymore. This is Gin Blossoms.
Close.
Savage Garden?
Keep going.
What is Jim Boss's Savage Garden? I don't know, dude.
Yep. Give me three more guesses.
Death Cab for Cutie.
No.
Dashboard Confessional.
So you're in the ballpark.
I feel like I am, but I don't. Oh, wait, hold on. Is it the people who sing? It's not the Verve.
No.
It's Young Radicals. Darcy Sky or something like that. What is it?
Goo Goo Dolls.
Ah,
that song is gonna.
What did I say? Didn't I say
you? Honestly, you said all of them but that one.
What was the first one I said?
You said all. It's like you said all of the colors.
Gin Blossoms. Yes.
Yeah. You said, and that's what you started with. That's why I was like, wow, you're
like
close. Also,
Goo Goo
the
Dolls.
G.
Yeah.
There's a G involved.
That was so the Goo Goo Dolls.
Ecstasy is all you need. Baby's black balloon.
I've been on a goo kick. Fell in love.
I love that you guessed Tool. Even just from the beginning.
Well, I just heard the riff. Then the music came in and I knew it was somebody more like sadder.
So which are like someone who's been through more.
I don't know if they've been through more, but
someone who's lived more lifetimes.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what you I know was what just I, thinking you know about?
No, I don't. But we're going to know as a family and a community, we're about to learn.
I feel like
careful how you word this.
I'm thinking about it. You know how like in those like shitty, and it's going to come back around, don't worry, but those shitty like phone games like Candy Crush or whatever, and they're like, you get to open a chest, and then that's like what keeps you
the
going,
drug,
right?
The dopamine right? shot.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's, that feeling is what I get when I open our email inbox, and Pennies yeah. and Pallers have written yes. us so yeah. many letters on so many different things. One of them we're going to do today. Another, probably both of them are actually going to do today.
Yeah.
And then I was listening to a song that at this point we've heard, man, I don't know. It can't be 52 times a year. We've done 2 years. That's 104. We're coming up on a third, which would put us at like 156. So somewhere between 104 and 156 times at least.
Yeah.
I've heard the Pen Pal song. But we've also re-racked a lot. Let's go close to 200 times. I've probably been a part of a show where we've heard that song.
Yeah.
It says right there, if you want to be my friend, you better go and get a pen
yeah.
or keyboard.
Yeah.
And so like that's the deal. If you're a Penny and a Paler and you've written us, awesome. If you haven't, come on.
Write us.
I know. It we makes start, me,
this is the new approach. We're very aggressive now with our listeners. Write us. You write us.
But I also mean it.
And then also, I think people.
It feels so good. I love it.
I love it too. And I do want to say this because we have gotten over the close to 3 years, mm-hmm. which seems insane to say that. Mm-hmm. But in the close to 3 years, we have gotten so many snail mail, letters, packages, gifts, things that people mm-hmm. made.
Can't wait for that again.
We have gotten so many DMs on Twitter, on Instagram. We've gotten so many emails to thepenpalspod@gmail.com. And I know that there's a lot of people who took the time and wrote stuff. And we have so many letters. And I know that Daniel and I are always like, keep giving us more letters because it truly does help us in so many ways.
We just talk about it.
Yeah, there are a lot of letters that don't hit us the right way to use it for so long. And I know that sounds crazy, but Daniel and I go through these letters. We read these letters, and there's some that someone wrote maybe, let's say, 5 minutes ago. We might use it. We might use one from 2 years ago.
Or you might
have them.
Yes. Or you might have written from 2 years ago that shows up on the stereo show.
Yes. So I would say if you're sitting there and believe, I know like sitting down to go, I'm going to write a letter like, it's a thing. It's that some of the letters we've used have not even been more than four sentences. Mm-hmm. Literally, you could write what, and for example, and something we have used, this letter was a little bit longer, but it could have just said, what do you think of time travel? That's a letter.
Right.
Now, do we prefer that you tell us what you think?
You think
I think so, yes, because
yeah,
that's
we
how
know
us,
our friends. Yes.
That's how us, and that's the whole community. That's how they identify you and get to know you because of your thoughts or feelings or emotions or whatever opinions on a certain topic. And then you guys have all gotten to know us because Daniel and I have given ours on every single one of those topics. So don't be afraid to, even if you've heard a topic before, we've definitely covered topics multiple times.
Yeah, I think we've talked about comedy more than once.
But for anyone, the reason I started this semi-speech was because I know a lot of people have written stuff that hasn't been on the show. And I want you to know it is not out of disrespect or thinking that this letter isn't good enough. There's just certain letters that are the right fit at the right time. And we've got them. And if you feel like you wrote something and you want to get it back in there, write it again. Write it to us again. Or write us a new letter. Or write us anything. If you want to. If you have the time and if you care. Go for it. Write something simple. Write something complex. I will say this, and we've said this since the beginning. If it's a super long letter, it's hard to fit it into the show
because
logistically.
We want to have enough time for us to give you the response.
Yes.
That's the only reason. It isn't that we don't care about all the things you wrote. It's just about time.
Daniel and I have gone an hour talking about our favorite sandwich, and that letter wasn't even asking us to that. So if you write a paragraph about something, we can hit it. If you write eight paragraphs, it's really hard for two cackling idiots who get very distracted to unpack a lot of things. So, you know, I guess what we're trying to say is thank you guys for always taking the time because it is your podcast. We just talk about it. And without your letters and your opinions and your thoughts and your feelings and your stories and, you know, all the things, we wouldn't be doing this. We would be doing a show, but I don't think it would be as fun as this. So, and it wouldn't be as involved as this and interactive as this. So
Thank you to everyone. And if you haven't had your letter read, reach back out to us. Try it again. Right. We're idiots.
Or maybe you sent in a cover version and you haven't heard it yet. Don't worry about that either. For all you know, the third week of October, I could hit Rory with a cover that we got so long ago. And it'll be, and trust me, it'll be the perfect time. Or at least what we think it is. Hold on, one more point.
This.
Go for it.
When people send stuff, and if we are doing a bunch of the covers and this and that, Daniel and I also have to try to curate this so that we are spreading out what the show is as we go, which is why in October might be when covers come back, because we know some people sit there and they don't want the same stuff over and over all the time again, and I think we feel that because we feel that, so we don't do it. We feel you guys and we feel our own opinion on it. So if you are discouraged and you've written a letter and it didn't get on, there's a chance we're holding on to it, but never be afraid to write it again or write something new.
Mm-hmm.
You could write us a lot. We read them. So that's all I got to say.
Guess what, Roar?
Chicken butt?
Oh, you know it.
I've heard that one.
Hashtag grow the show. We have not done this in a while, and I wanted to.
Oh. Speaking of spreading things out, here we go.
Yeah. Hashtag grow the show from no such person, which makes me don't know how much credence I should give this. This is an iTunes review. 5 stars. Come for the laughs and heartfelt advice. Stay because you've joined 2 cults and are no longer allowed to leave. Love the show. Love the theme song. Love the cookies from 3 Best Bakery. I was inspired to buy and ate all in one sitting.
That's easy to do.
Check it out if you like good times. Is that?
That's a great review.
1, 2, 3. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words. All you have to say to people when you're trying to hashtag grow the show. Check it out if you like good times.
Honestly, that full review, I may put on the back of a book when I finally write a book. I know it's not related to that specific product, but I feel like I'm allowed to take liberty with that review and go, hey, here's a good review of another thing I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to read one more.
Yeah.
Here we go. Ready?
Ecstasy is all you need, living in the big machine now.
On the advice of another reviewer, this is when it works, guys.
This is when reviews start eating reviews like the snake that eats its own tail.
I started listening to the first episodes and also listen to the newest episodes when they come out. Oh, you're eating the pie from both sides.
Oh, a double-sided candle.
It is cool that some of the same sayings are still being used. They're watching this like Memento.
They're seeing an implosion.
Right.
We are living in an explosion. They're witnessing it as an
implosion.
If
they do it on time, they would finish somewhere between the two tuxes, right?
They're going to come right into Texas,
which is the middle of the country, south their only area, not exact middle.
Then they go on to say a final sentence. Thank you for sticking with each other and working through OPP. That's other people's problems. I think we work through at the inspiration of other people's. We work through some of our own. I relate to many of the pennies. Saga, hashtag grow the show. People are still writing these and I love them. And every once in a while, I think we used to do it a lot. I mean, there's one right here that just says, the title of the review is 5 stars, hashtag when is what? And it says a podcast for cackling idiots.
Yeah.
Love it. The community is growing. It's strong. Mm-hmm. We have a strong community.
Oh, there's so many of these I could read. Okay, I love that review. Let us know that you're digging the show. Send us a letter and hang out with us.
And just a reminder, the best way to send letters right now is email. The penpalspod@gmail.com. The DMs are good, but email is definitely better for our organizational purposes.
Concurred. Where do you want to go?
I think I do. I really do.
I love this.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to 3.
And let's go to the letter. I liked it.
I haven't talked to Patrick in a while. I got to see if he's all right out there.
The Keenster?
The Patrick Keenster.
Remember when he did the show?
And God bless him. It was so early there. And also God bless his like neighbors in that building who had to hear him playing the guitar and singing loudly. Not that it sounds bad, but when you're sleeping, you know, there's no music you're into.
I love that he got to like see part of what he hath helped wrought.
Yes. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Hey man, that song's the vibe.
Yeah.
We're just trying to hold up the vibe.
Yeah. We're trying to follow that vibe.
Am I going or are you?
And today I followed it with Goo Goo Dolls. some people are going to like that. Some people won't.
Who are those
You want
people?
Me to do it? You want me to jump up and grab?
I trust you.
Dangerous.
Really quick. Famous side note, last side words. Note really quick. And we got to keep it to like less than a minute.
Sai, go ahead.
I started the Tiger Doc.
What?
Yeah.
So I watched the first half. I never got to the second half.
Oh, it's two halves? So I'm halfway through the first
half. There's a two-parter. It's fine for what it is. It tries to be Jerry Springer-ish, and it's like, and Tiger didn't sign off on it. It's fine. No, you could watch Tiger and learn about Tiger. It's fascinating, but it gets a little trashy, I think.
It felt that way in the opening.
In its presentation.
It felt that way in the very opening with the scene from the holding cell. I was like, come on. Do we really? He didn't kill anybody.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Settle down a little bit. Why don't we just, we could have just did a documentary about his amateur career and I would have been like, wow, I know.
Exactly.
I was 15. I forgot.
I think that's the thing about it. Also like about his dad. I'm like, he had the one guy who was the pro and he was like, I was friends with their family and I played golf with his dad and his dad had a Winnebago at the course and he was like sleeping with women while Tiger was like a kid and playing on the course. And it's the guy looks to like a side camera. It seems so set up and he's like, well, I know about, and he's like, I shouldn't talk about this. But then he looks right to this camera right over here, which is why is that camera there? And he's like,
right.
He's like, he ain't gonna like me talking about this. And it's like, that is so, it's so forced and set up. And you're like, I don't know.
Because in any documentary, you're gonna say, hey, can I interview about something? And then the person would go, oh, what's it for? Like, what's the story you're telling?
Yeah.
And so what they just told people, like, oh, we just kind of want to like gloss over the worst parts of Tiger's life.
Yeah.
And those people were like, I'm in.
Yeah. Well, there's one guy they interview and he was like, you know, I'm not talking about that. He goes, I'm smart enough. He goes, some stuff you don't talk about. And I was like, yeah, you know, and I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But you sit there and you go, my relationship with this person, I'm not talking about this.
Like, I even felt weird that his like college or high school girlfriend was like sharing home videos. I was like,
I know it's personal.
He acted out because that was a safe place for him to goof around. And now you've said,
and you've exposed it. Yeah.
Even something you thought was okay for you to cut loose 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I just didn't like that.
It's a little much.
Yeah.
Here we go. And I just want to say, this is the first time I've ever read a letter where Dear Daniel Nori, which is the wrong order, is so bold and like just giant font. Dear Daniel and Rory.
It is huge.
Documents. I got these documents.
Like, did they write this in a Google Doc and then copied and pasted it over?
Because I don't even know how to do that on Gmail. Oh. I hope this letter finds you both happy and healthy. I think we're doing pretty good in those categories. I wanted to start by thank you for accompanying me through countless long walks, car rides, and early trips to work over the past year. Thank you for inviting us on those journeys. You've brought me so many much-needed laughs and made many of my days a little better. A few years ago, you guys read a letter from my sister Lauren, and so now I'm hoping to even the playing field by writing a letter myself. Folks, I just talked about Springer. I mean, where is this going?
Oh, yeah.
On a more serious note, I wanted to ask your advice about how you handle big changes in your lives. I don't. I'm insecure, and I bury them. I said that. Growing up, I was extremely blessed to have two parents who loved me and loved each other very much. I always heard stories of how in love they were and the cutest tales of their college shenanigans. I idolized their story and dreamed about living that life with my own love in the future. My mom was a kick-ass woman who came from nothing, but put herself through college and became the first female plant manager at her huge engineering firm. I looked up to her so much in every way. My dad took the role of Mr. Mom and did everything with me and my two sisters while my mom was busy being a feminist hero. Unfortunately, my family was given a reality check when my mom was diagnosed with cancer while I was in middle school. After a hard-fought battle, she passed away about 4 years later. Not a day goes by that I don't miss her, but I have been able to come to peace with the fact that her time with us is over, and I am forever thankful for the moments I did have with her. However, I struggle with the fact that now my dad has begun to date again. I have always been extremely close with my dad. We spent all our time together, traveling to my volleyball games, hanging out on the lake together, and cooking dinners. My dad has always and will always be my best friend, role model, and the first person I want to tell good news to. Now that I'm in college, I know that it's great for him to have someone that he can spend time with while I'm away, but it's so hard to accept someone new into my family's life without it feeling like a replacement for my mom. How do you guys deal with changes in your life while still honoring your past? Am I crazy for struggling to accept this new part of my life? Finally, I have one more question that I desperately need an answer for. If each of you were a dessert, which one would you be and why? Or is that desert? You know what I did today? A little side note. I Googled how many weeks are in a year because I couldn't remember if it was 52 or 54.
Isn't that wild that I told you in this podcast without knowing? I just said that. Remember? I was like 52 and then we did.
Because I said 54. Didn't I say 54?
Not that I heard.
You're talking about on this episode right now?
Yeah, remember I was like, how many times have I heard the theme song? We did it 1 year, so I've heard it 52 times.
Yeah.
I ended up giving you that information, not knowing you had been searching for it.
The other day I said to someone, and I was like, yeah, 54 times. And they're like, 52? Almost like shocked that I didn't know it. And I was like, yeah, 52. I immediately was like, they're right. Go with it. Commit.
Also, the good thing about us is there's so many running bits that when you do step in it like that, someone oftentimes they tend to think you're doing a bit. And then you get if you're fast enough, you get to go like, ha-ha.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. You got it. 52. Obviously, I know that.
Yeah. You know me. Always
one for
with
each
numbers.
State in the United States. 52. Got it. Is dessert two S's or one? Now, I know that she meant dessert.
I think I feel
because of how she signs off here.
Well, I don't know, dude, because you could say what desert would you be?
That's why. And all I could think was, oh, my God, this is the first writer who truly believes that you and I are very smart. Like, we
how many
name
deserts?
Multiple deserts.
OK, Sahara.
And I'm done. And I'm out.
And that's only because of the McConaughey.
McConaughey does it again. He does it again for me.
We gotta know another.
The Gobi
desert.
Is the Gobi Desert?
Yes. See, look at us.
How many? First off, how many deserts are there?
Oh my God! I bet there's at least hundreds of deserts in the world.
I don't even know.
And I either
is it
said
weird
something
that I think
so accurate
six?
Or so wildly dumb?
Is it weird
now?
That I think there's six deserts?
I wouldn't fight you about it. Right? God. How about this? If I look the camera, and go. I'm not talking about this.
I'm not. I refuse.
He's gonna be mad when I talk about these deserts.
It is worth looking up the name of all the deserts, and then at a party, be like, just be like, oh, that's near this one desert. Like, why you know
desert,
a lot about deserts? Like, yeah, I know deserts.
Like,
I don't. I've never met someone who's like, I know a lot about deserts.
We live next to a desert.
We're like in a desert.
Right. And I don't know what the name of it is. Is Death Valley the name of the desert? Or just the valley?
I don't know. Or death.
Palm Desert.
Palm Desert for 500. But she does mean desserts. So here we go.
Oh, I love our pennies and pallors, and I love us.
But is dessert is two S's. I know that for a fact.
If you made me put money on it, I would go two S's, but I'm not like...
You would go two. You're right. Okay. Which one would you be and why? I am so thankful for all you do. Take that, Lauren. They read my letter too. That makes me so happy.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me happy that both... You know what? That sincerely, a peach cobbler, Ashley. Ashley, good for you. Because honestly, I was like, when will someone take Lauren's thunder from her?
Right, because the only
she's
siblings
had it
we've...
too good for too long.
Right, the only siblings we've had fighting before are those H2O Challenge girls from Chicago. And they all cheated.
Who I thought hated my stand-up.
I've met them, I think, twice. At least some of them. by my recollection, all of them have cheated at that tournament in some way. They all cheated, and then they blame other. They blame other people.
But don't they
for
openly? Aren't they openly like, yeah, I cheated? Like no one took that competition.
No, they have arguments about there's water and coffee. Does that count and stuff like that?
Oh, that's right.
Does lemonade count?
None of them should count. I don't remember what my answer was, but the person I've grown into, only water should count.
Just straight up, maybe some ice?
Ice counts. You're allowed to do ice.
Okay.
Frozen water counts.
Yep.
I don't remember what I said. I probably said Coke counts at the time. I was so young and stupid back then.
Yeah,
you're like,
that was years ago.
It was 51 weeks ago. I go, 2 years ago? let's go simple. Work backwards. Dessert. I mean... You're going to be a pie.
Yeah.
Just say it.
I don't know how I'm not a pie, but I think, you know what?
Here's what you have to do. You have to tell us the pie.
Okay.
But then you have to also pick a non-pie dessert that you would pick.
The pie I think I would choose, and I do not have a favorite pie. That's like my kids.
Can I guess? And wait, get it in your head and let me guess. And let's just see if it happens.
You want to do the opening scene of Ghostbusters together?
Let's just see.
Yeah. Okay.
Daniel, I said it's fine if I get it wrong.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm thinking it.
Banana cream pie.
Oh, you're so close.
Chocolate cream pie.
No.
You're so close. I'm like, what is it? You're like blackberry Google dolls.
You were so close, but it was between banana cream and one other
pecan
coconut cream pie.
I knew it was a cream.
A freshly made coconut cream slice of coconut cream pie on a summer.
It's
right before you jump in the lake.
It's fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
Crisp crunch to it.
I think also it's like the pie I eat the most at the family reunion, so there's a lot of feelings.
A passive crunch. It's got a passive crunch to it. It pushes back, but it allows.
A little flaky crust. You want to be able to see the layers?
The crust pushes back, but it allows.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my slogan for my failing pie business, because people don't know if it's a sex, if it's sex related or actual food. It pushes back, but then allows.
All right, you go.
Is this some sort of dominatrix service?
Can be. All right, you go, and then I'll give my non-pie dessert. I'll think of it while you're saying your whatever you are. I feel like you're going to go. I feel like you're going to go a cobbler, and you might also go peach.
I'm going to go ice cream.
I wasn't even thinking ice cream.
But you know what? You know what? But now this is if this is
I know you're
this
a vanilla
is what
guy.
I am.
You're a vanilla guy.
Vanilla ice cream, and this is not necessarily what I would eat. But this is what I am.
Mm-hmm.
The chocolate syrup that hardens.
Ooh, a shell.
I'd have a shell, and you're gonna have to crack into it if you want to get down to the good stuff of me. No freebies. No freebies.
Man, I wasn't even thinking dessert.
That was the question.
Ice cream.
God, I wasn't even thinking about the question to the answer to the answer to the question.
I want to say, if I'm going non-pie, German chocolate cake. Because I love German chocolate cake.
This is the one moment you're like, mounds. Right. A mounds candy bar.
What if somebody... it is dessert, but I don't consider a candy bar dessert. I consider it a snack.
I'm with you.
I will go if I'm going non-pie.
Go with a pastry. What pastry would you be?
Oh.
We're torturing ourselves.
Because I like those custards with all the fruit on it in a decorative way with the little crumb crust.
Yeah. It's almost like a little pie. Like a little pie. You can't get away from pie. No matter what.
What is that about me? Well, you like what you like.
It's in your DNA. You like what you like. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I think that's...
Those are good.
Yeah, okay.
I can't remember what those are called, though. They have a name for them, but...
Tart.
From the patisserie.
It's a fruit tart, right?
Little fruit tart. Little cream fruit tart.
Mm-hmm.
I like
creme,
that.
Creme fruit tart?
Creme fruit. I like that tart. For you. I'd go with a Napoleon. All right, let's unpack the bigger thing here.
Okay.
first off, you know, sincere condolences about the passing of your mother. I mean, even just those very few sentences, the way you describe it is earth-shattering and heartbreaking. Simple answer for me, and I think it's you too. You gotta let your dad live his life, and you have to let him, and it, no matter how you feel about it, your dad needs this. And if he didn't, he probably wouldn't be seeking it out, and he probably wouldn't be participating in it. But as special as it your mother is and was, and what she meant to you, it isn't enough, in my personal opinion, it isn't enough to go, well, I had this great person and now they're gone, so I did that.
Right.
That's not what it is. It's the thing that you get in those relationships. And I think you have to step back and not look at it like they are comparisons.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad isn't going to be dating someone to replace your mom. Your dad is finding someone that he wants to share his life with. And this will make your, and from this, she's in college. But as someone who's 40, the older you get, this will make more sense to you. Right. And if I could give myself advice as a kid, if I could go back to my college self, I would tell myself, all of this stuff that you question or judge people on or predict what your relationships are with people, it will all make so much more sense when you are older. You will understand it when you're older. So you have to keep an open mind now. Your dad's life, as hard as this is, your life is not your dad's life, and your dad's life is not your life. So you wouldn't want your dad standing in the way of your life. So you have to think about that when your relationship with your dad. It's something he might need. And aside from needing that other person that he might need, he also needs your support in doing that. Because keep in mind how difficult that is emotionally and mentally for him to share that sacred space with someone new that is not your mother. It's not something that mothers and fathers who have to go through this easily do. It's a difficult space to navigate.
Well, you know, if she's in college, and I'm guessing we're somewhere around 3 years removed from her mom passing away. Mm-hmm. And I want to say a couple things. I think you touched on something great, Rort. And this is not a joke, although it might sound like one. One thing that struck me about the Britney Spears documentary was the guy who was, she wanted to be her lawyer and the judge told him that he couldn't be her lawyer or whatever. He kept saying, I have to remind myself, I don't know what I don't know. And so this is just in terms of what you were speaking to about growing up is like, if sometimes when things bother you or don't feel right, you have to tell yourself, well, I don't know what I don't know. And so that means I can't get too frustrated about it. That means I can't feel like I should be trying to fix it. That means I shouldn't assume that I even can fix it because I don't know what I don't know. And the great thing is what you're saying is over time, things that you don't know, you don't know. As you get older, you will be given perspective that only comes with just like life and growth. And
Yeah.
I think that especially, and I am not speaking down to you in any way, but the younger we are, the less we know. And in the context of your letter, what I think is we see our parents, their first thing to us is they're gods. And sadly, sometimes they can be evil gods or they can be like the most wonderful gods ever, but they're gods. And then over time, they become more and more and more humanized to us as we become more and more of our own right of a human and our own agency. And we see choices we make. And then we get more eventually self-aware. Throughout life, we get faced with the same choices our parents got faced with at 20, at 13, at 15, at 40. And we feel like, oh, I would have done this. And I see now that my parent did something else. And what that creates is two things. One, you understand the fallacy. Fallible, the fallibility. I don't know if that's a word of your parents.
That I'm not the person to ask. So.
But that makes you also understand that more of them are just a person. And I say all that to say all this: your dad is your dad, but he is still a man if he identifies that way. Let's just say he does. He is still a man, and he's not looking to replace the mother of his daughters. He's looking to find new. I hate to use the word replace, but find a new person to fill the romantic side of him, because your mom wasn't just your mom. She was also someone's wife, and before that, girlfriend and love interest and romantic relationship partner. And so is your dad. And so that's like what you just said, to reiterate her a little bit. That's what he's looking for. He's not like, hey, would you want to be the college age mother or mother of my college age kids? No.
Yeah.
Do you want to go on a fucking walk and watch a movie and hold hands and give me somebody who I'm romantically interested in to be able to hug?
Yeah.
So that's what's being identified here. And communication of that can make things better. He could tell you that. Maybe he can't. Some people are hard with how they put things in word, but he could be like, hey, I just want to share romantically share a bucket of popcorn with someone.
Yeah.
That's all this is.
Yeah.
And I think also too, an important thing, and this is to give yourself credit, and I don't think, and I hope that none of this in any way feels like it's coming down on you, because it's all natural. It's all real feeling and it's valid, is that we all grieve on a different timeline. And it still may be so raw for you for the loss of your mom to not even want to see your dad hold somebody else in. And that feeling just inside yourself is okay to feel. You don't get to put that onto another person, but it's okay for you to, like, oh, that stings a little bit.
Right, yeah.
And same for your dad. He's on his own pathway. And as long as people are respectful of, like, what other people's grieving process is, and they're not trying to slow anybody else down or speed anybody else up, you just have to keep that communication of, like, dad, I'm so happy that you have somebody to share some Reese's Pieces with, but it's hard for me to see another person's hand in that frame.
Yeah.
And he could go, I totally get that.
Yeah.
And then, but he would probably say, do you want me to feel lonely? And you would look at him, I imagine, and go, no.
See, I think it's perspective, and I think that's right. I think, imagine, but you really try to put yourself in that position and say that you're a mother of three and you lose your husband, and would you say, well, I will never be with another person, and I won't, you know, I won't get into another relationship, and I won't, or would you want to? Would you know that there's something inside you that, you know, we as people are drawn to those things? We don't get just one. You can have these great, powerful, meaningful, life-changing relationships with many, many people. I couldn't sit here and, you know, heaven forbid, even this hypothetical, but if I was in your dad's shoes, I can't sit here and say that I would just then accept that that's, I had my one marriage and then I loved her and that's that. I don't think that's, I in guessing who I am, I need that. And I don't think the thing that I need, that I get from Jordan, I don't look at it as though, well, I can only get this from Jordan. I can only get this version of this from Jordan. And I am, you know, over the moon lucky that the version I get to have is incredibly amazing. But it, in reality, as hard as it is to face, it doesn't mean that there aren't other amazing potential relationships out there. They're very hard to find, but I couldn't sit here and go, oh, I shouldn't seek it out. I had an amazing one. If that's what you want in your life, in this lifetime, it's on you to go find that happiness. And I know, based on this letter, I know that you wouldn't be like, well, I'd just rather my dad be unhappy because it makes me feel this way. And I know that's not what you're saying.
No.
And I think because that's not what you're saying, and because I can tell from this letter that's not who you are, it comes down to not trying to look at anyone your dad dates as a new mom or a stepmom even, or as, you know, oh, well, you, my mom used to be in your position. You have to force yourself to not see it and know that your mom was a one-of-a-kind person in this position. Mm-hmm. These other people are people that you could have potentially great friendships with. And if your dad truly falls in love with someone, that is also meaningful and beneficial to you. That means you might also have an amazing relationship with this new person,
right,
who isn't your mom and isn't trying to be your mom. And honestly, I'm putting myself in the shoes of the hypothetical woman that we're talking about. If your dad is trying to date a woman, think about from her perspective, she is also probably like, oh, I don't want that vibe at all. I'm a chill, regular, normal person, and you and your dad and I just happened to meet at a thing and we hit it off, and I didn't know his story and he told me his story, but fuck, there's something there and it feels really good. That only, you know, it isn't like that's easy to come by. So if your dad finds that, as hard as it is, you know, really, really try to see it from a perspective, would you want your kids to support you if you were on that same journey your dad was on? And I think you know the answer is yes. So really try to see it from that perspective and go, I'm going to support my dad. And if I have an issue with anything, there's an open line of communication. I'm also going to sit here and say, your dad could start dating a horrible person. That's also a thing that can happen. And that's when it's time to speak up. But, you know,
It'll be about that person being a bad
person. Yeah. And I think the relationship that you have with your dad and how close you are with your dad and how you describe it in this letter, I think that if your dad really found someone that he thought was special, then I think you would probably find them to be pretty special too. And I think you might actually find it to make your life happier to welcome that person in, not as a replacement, but just as a new person, a new bonus person that you get to have in your life who's maybe awesome. And when you're, you know, 70 years old, you look back and go, you know, that, let's say it's this woman, I don't know who it would be, but you might look back and go, that woman really changed my life. She really made my life amazing. She became an amazing friend and like was there for me and my kids. And my, you know, don't expect anything, but just don't assume that it has to be the cliche that we see in movies and TV shows.
Right.
These aren't, don't you think, it's never replacements. And I feel like your dad would be, only knowing him from this letter, I would say, I think he would be smart enough to know that too.
Yeah. And this might be I think my last thing on this, Roar, but don't you think too, like, you kind of also have to give people the opportunity to show you how much they care about you.
Yes.
And so you have a right to like say to your dad, like, Dad, in the context of you being a man who like has a right to like go out to a nice outdoor dinner.
We have to say outdoor.
I know.
So COVID language, Dan. COVID language.
But in the context of that, like, I am so happy for you. But you know how like we always did like goofy family photos for Christmas morning? If Christmas were next month, I just don't know that I'd be ready for Deborah to like be in the photo. Like, not that she doesn't seem cool or make you happy, but I'm just saying, hypothetically, like right now, that would just really make me sad. And your dad should go, hopefully, would go like, oh, yeah, we're not, this is in the context of me, I'm not looking to bring somebody in to like, she gets to wear matching pajamas with like the rest of us on Christmas morning. Like,
yeah,
if that ever happens, it's going to be because all of us want that to happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, and then when you give someone the opportunity to make you, to hear you and make you feel better, oh my God, you're no longer like carrying this thing on your own. You're always in that person who is your best friend and your role model and means so much to you to be able to be like, yeah, I'm that for a reason because I'm going to hear you and I care about you. And then it also allows you to go, oh, that removes a lot of this fear. So now I get to just kind of operate as somebody who's like, hey, nice to meet you, without this, like, what the fuck is this going to be? Does anybody care how I feel? Like, he didn't forget that he's your dad, but he also can't forget that he's also
his own person.
Yes.
Who has wants and needs. And,
right,
you know, as you get older, you realize, yeah, but my dad is my dad. You're going to learn potentially that as you get older, like, you really start to have your own
life, and your dad has his own life, and if you've done things right, you still meet in the middle, and you figure it out. But it's not easy. I know that it's not easy. Nobody thinks it is, but I would say the advice I would offer, not that you're specifically asking for it, is just keep an open heart and an open mind to who any of these people are that your dad might bring in, and really dig deep and try to be supportive, knowing that it's also crazy for him to seek out something in a space that he's only known in such a deep and profound way with this one other person that he can't have that space with anymore. It potentially is heart-wrenching for him. So know that, you know.
Right. I think this will all come from a solid F2F.
I think so.
And then
so.
Hopefully eventually you get to an RRGT.
That's right.
All right. That's it for me, Roar.
Well, and that's going to be... That's it for me. We wish you well, Ashley.
You peach cobbler.
Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Vanker.
And Rory Scovel.
Hey, do you miss traveling with your besties like in Girls Trip? Do you miss going to huge family gatherings like in Soul Food? Do you miss meeting the parents like in Get Out? Huh? Well, actually, no one misses that. But you can still do all of these things with me, Desmond Thorne, on my podcast, Adventures in Black Cinema. Each week, I take you on a journey through a new black film, how it relates to the culture, and sometimes how the themes relate to my own life, so there's always a little tea and a slight bit of embarrassment. And of course, as a filmmaker myself and one of the blackest, film nerdiest film nerds like ever, you're always in good hands. Adventures in Black Cinema with Desmond Thorne, executive produced by Amanda Seals. New episodes every Tuesday on all major podcast platforms.
When was the last time you did something just for you? Discover your summer essentials with FabFitFun, the best subscription box service delivering full-size self-care and wellness products delivered straight to your door. Their experts carefully pick from top trending products for you to personalize your own box of happiness. Just choose your plan and get ready for the best in home, fashion, beauty, wellness, and so much more. So whether it's the perfect beach blanket, a handy wine chiller, or aloe vera gel, FabFitFun has you covered for all of your fun in the sun needs. You'll get to choose some of the products to go in your box while the rest are a surprise. Plus, you can access other perks like flash sales and new items up to 70% off. FabFitFun is more than just an incredible value. It's me time in a box. All about the brands you love, the brands you will love, and doing something that's just for you. Visit FabFitFun.com for 50% off your first box while supplies last when you use code TALKSHOW. That's FabFitFun.com, code TALKSHOW.
Folks, you know this space. This is the small business ad space with Daniel Vanuel-Ganuel and Rory Maury Scorey. One of our favorite small businesses that has become such a staple on this show is Three Best Bakery. I can't even remember when this relationship started, but it has been incredible.
Was it the beginning of the pandemic?
I think. But we just want to let you guys know that Suzanne has opened she had the brick and mortar when the pandemic hit. We started, she sent us some cookies. We thought they were amazing. We mentioned it. Things were good for her. Whatever support we might have offered in creating awareness of her business, fantastic, great. The main thing that has kept her afloat that she should realize is the fact that she makes an amazing quality product. So if we could help, then that's great. And if our listeners can help, that's great. And I think she wants to offer a little bit of a thank you. So she is doing a 20% discount by using the code PENPALS when you check out on the website. And that is 3bestbakery.com.
And not just that, you also get free shipping on any orders over $50.
That's right.
To get 20% discount, use the code PENPALS at checkout. And if you want free shipping, order a lot of cookies for yourself.
And you're going to want to. The cookies are amazing. Love.
That's I agree. Right. Those smash cookies are so good. I have cookies I need to bring to your house right
bring
now.
Bring them.
Go to 3BestBakery. That's T-H-R-E-E, bestbakery.com to use Pen Pals for 20% off at checkout. And you can also get free shipping on orders of $50 or more.
And we're back, folks.
I heard back in the saddle again recently.
Is that about this?
Yeah, of course, is all I thought about. Hey, guess what, Roar? I'm going to tell people a little something.
What?
In 3 days, 4 days? I don't know how calendars work, and I know you don't. You sure?
I've never. 58 weeks out of the year. 58 weeks out of the year? I do know how they work.
We're doing our live Pen Pals on the 27th. We are going to keep it all in the room. If it happens there, you got to be a part of it. If you weren't there, you don't.
We're experimenting.
I know. It's going to be a little bit more conversational. We're going to do a live Patreon episode, Palpatench, in the pre-show hang. And I'm going to tell you guys this. Some items are going to be announced as going away from the store, and new items to our merch store are going to be added. And guess what? If you're at the show, you're going to get a discount code that will be good for just a couple of days, maybe even 24 hours. You'll be able to get early access on pre-sale for new items and get them at a discounted rate, but that's only if you're at the live show, and you'll get to see first what the new items are. They are good.
Good.
So good.
So good.
All right, Roar, you ready?
Let's do it.
Daniel and Rory, because they get it.
Nope.
I have paused this week's episode to share with you a couple Chicago St. Patrick's Day memories.
Here we go.
I know. I was an assistant manager of the flagship Fannie Mae Candies. I could talk about the half of the sentence I just read for an hour. Also,
now, is that the one that's at Michigan and Wacker?
You're reading that letter. Yeah. And I've been to that so many... The amount of times that I have bought in Pixies from that Fannie Mae store to take to Rosemary Van Kirk for Christmas. I used to work in that building.
That's her cocaine. That's her version of cocaine.
It is. Because she snorts them. And they're like chocolate candies. Yes. Okay.
We call her Revved Rosemary.
Revs Mary. I was an assistant manager at the flagship Fannie Mae Candies at Michigan and Wacker. I was the opener the morning of the River Dying and Parade. For those who know, you have a pretty good idea of the horrors I saw that day. And thanks to our basically floor-to-ceiling windows, I had a front row seat. I worked in a tanning salon. Well, I'll save this. Yep. That was a perfect storm of horrible. Our district manager wouldn't let us close. We were understaffed, as always, and we didn't have a public bathroom. I had dozens of people threaten to urinate on my floors if I didn't let them use our employee bathroom. Lots of people wanted me fired. We had tons of product walk out the door because we couldn't stop shoplifters. And when the crowd finally died down and we were able to assess the damage, we found a dirty diaper on the sales floor. All of this on top of trying to sell chocolates to incoherent drunks and screaming children. That day was the closest I've ever come to walking out on a job. At about noon, I was ready to send everyone home and burn the place to the ground. Love it. The other St. Patrick's Day I can remember, Daniel, you may have been here for. The holiday fell on a Saturday, and it was 80 degrees in Chicago. March 17th, Saturday, 80 degrees, Chicago, Illinois. That's just me giving you a little fresher. Chicago went buck fucking wild. I lived on the outskirts of Wrigleyville and could take either the red or brown line home from work that day. I knew getting off at Addison was not an option that day, but after being almost puked on while on the brown line, I said, fuck this, got out at Belmont, and walked the mile home. On my walk, I passed the Chipotle on Belmont and saw a person wearing an Irish flag as a cape, wielding a broom, screaming back off at a line of people who just wanted a burrito. Guess this person wanted a burrito more. At this point in the day, all the bars on Belmont and Southport had spilled into the streets. It felt like one huge frat party. I finally made it up Southport, love all these drops, to my home, showered immediately, and contemplated burning my clothes. All right, time to get back to the episode. Roseanne. It's
terrifying.
Chicago, and I've heard New York is wild. I'm sure Boston is too.
New York, there's something
about Chicago St. Patrick's Day. So I was here in LA when that 80 degrees day hit, but I remember, I believe it was 2011. I remember saying to myself, this has got to be the most batshit crazy. I'm going to run you down just one of the St. Patrick's Day that I did.
Okay.
6 a.m. We meet outside of, what was that bar? It was like on Diversey, right at Lakeshore Drive. I know only people who I'm talking to know, so it doesn't really matter. We all get on a bus. We start drinking. You could either...
On the bus?
Yes. Instantly.
Which is not as fun as it seems.
It's fun for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, and then it's hard. You're spilling your drink. Yes. It's making your drunk like
Bailey's
worse.
And coffee and screwdrivers. I think I had 4 screwdrivers by the time we got down to Beverly, where the Southside Irish Parade was happening.
Yeah.
The Southside Irish Parade is Chicago's Mardi Gras. There are no fucking rules and cops everywhere who do not care.
Yeah.
We got off. You're not supposed to have like an open container. You know, people can brown bag it, but like no one cared. The parade goes down, I think, Western in Beverly. That's also like where all the cops live. And it is a free for all. The parade's going on, but everybody's out in their front lawns. I meet up with TJ Anarino, whose family lives down there. They've got a whole spread going. Then we end up in a bar, and we're in this bar when the parade ends. I'd never done the Southside Irish Parade. I'm obviously annihilated.
Yeah.
And they start saying, oh, don't go outside. And I was like, why? And they're like, parade's over. And I'm like, so what? And they're like, oh, all the rules are back because the parade's over. And so we run like we're trying to make it to the helicopter, which is the bus or train. I can't even remember. I think we took the train because we missed the bus. Cops are just putting people into cop car, like anytime anybody with a drink in their hand, you're locked up.
Yeah,
like the moratorium, like the purge had ended, right?
Yeah.
And so then we end up back on the north side at a Chipotle, fittingly enough for this story. We drink so many margaritas at this Chipotle. It's St. Patrick's Day. Then we end up at Chi-Town Tap on Lincoln Avenue. I leave at like 1 or 2 in the morning. I know I'm not, but have you ever done this where I felt sober? I had drank so much and like gotten drunk and then like sobered up and then like ate and still drinking. But at this point, like I'm just sober. I leave and go home. Two of my friends go down to like a club and they're out till 6 in the morning. One of them gets a knife pulled on them. The cops show up at the club and they come banging on my window at like 7 in the morning. I let them in. They sleep on the hardwood floor and I go to bed. That's just one St. Patrick's Day. But this is what it's like everywhere.
I am just not built that way.
Well, none of us are.
I feel like the most insane I ever got in terms of this was when I went to Panama City Beach for spring break.
You did a spring break?
2002.
Is it just insane?
It was insane. The hotel we were at.
How much
and all the hotels
pay?
Know what's coming.
5 people so in the room?
It's like
people?
Garbage hotels.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. there were like 12 of us in a hotel. It was like all dudes on the soccer team. When you went out on the balcony, the whole like hotel was like a horseshoe with like the pool. Everybody is on the balcony and screaming like it's a fucking European soccer game. I mean, it is going crazy. And there's people on balconies being like, come up to our room. You're just going to whatever rooms, hanging out. And then some nights you're going to the club and it's the same thing happening in the club. It truly is like, it was truly bizarre. It was the most bizarre thing. As far as like partying goes, that's the most I've ever.
Yeah.
Dude, I just cannot drink like that.
One year I went to Irish Eyes.
I started getting sick listening to... When you said you drank a lot of margaritas at Chipotle, I could only taste the sugar and the upset stomach. That's all I could feel.
I did too, man. But like I, 1 year.
But that's how weak of a drinker I am. I felt it now, 10 years later.
I feel that way too about that sugar. Ugh. But like, I remember 1 year I'm at Irish Eyes on Lincoln, and this bar altogether is
now
maybe
that's eight. that's the Hall & Oates cover bar.
Irish Eyes are drinking with you.
Irish Eyes,
they're drinking. Okay, so I'm at Irish Eyes. The entire bar is probably 800 square feet, right? And you cannot, like, you can't. There's the amount of fire codes that get broke on St. Patrick's Day at bars. You cannot move. I make my way to the back door. I give the door guy $20, and I start letting my friends in the back door.
Yeah.
And then I end up, much like you, that one time I became like a de facto door guy, but I didn't care because knowing that guy, he could go get his like sodas and waters whenever he wanted. So he was just getting me drinks every. He's like, oh, I also need this. And they were like, whatever. Like, no one cares.
I know, because it's all money. They're making so much money.
Those bartenders are making like $2,000-$3,000 in the day.
Yeah.
But it, I mean, they earn it, dude. It's wild.
It's wild. Yeah. I can't handle it.
I mean, you heard about Miami right now, right?
Oh, God.
They shut it down, dude. There's an 8 p.m. curfew.
Of course.
Of course.
Who are these people?
I don't know.
Who are these people? Streets? Yes.
Thousands. It looks like the West Hollywood Halloween parade.
It's like, let's just go get it. Let's just go get it. Right. Let's just go get it.
Let's just go get it.
Let's just get it.
You need anything from the COVID store? I'm going to Miami.
I think I'll survive it. But if I come home and I accidentally give it to my dad or my grandmother and they pass away, are you kidding me? I'll get to talk about Miami Beach and people will know I was there. I was there.
In Chicago for St. Patrick's Day, they do like an annual thing where they give the police blotter for the entire day. And the one from this year, I've read it multiple times in my life. It is terrifying and one of the most hilarious things because people were just everywhere. I hate when we like cavalry paint war zones as lightly, but it just looked like there was just bodies of people like passed out like everywhere, like in the planters along Michigan Avenue, like just like, I'm not joking. That's like one of them. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't want to ever do that again, but I'm also excited where maybe a year or two from now, people can responsibly do that without
I'm going to go do it.
You are not.
I'm going to go rage in Chicago. It doesn't have to be St. Patrick's Day for me.
Roseanne, I love that you sent this in. You are at so many Hub City shows, and it's just great to hear from a penny and a paler whenever we do.
That's right.
Hope nothing happened to you bad this year. I believe you wrote this before it all went down. But I say it from my heart, especially with this subject. We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk
and Rory Van Scovel. If it wasn't so long ago.
A podcast network.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.